Chapter 1. We had just arrived at the office from our trip east, opting to fly rather than teleport. It took considerably longer, but normal human travel prevented my digestive destruction. Being a cursed immortal didn't erase the intense agony after teleporting. There was nothing remotely appealing about feeling my intestines trying to escape my body after each trip. Peaches, my hellhound, traveled by stepping in between or plane walking. It was his version of teleporting, and just as unpleasant for me. He materialized silently by my leg, nearly destroying the island in our kitchen area by bumping into it. His little nudge almost launched the entire island out of the kitchen and into the nearby wall. I scowled at him as he padded away. "We just got back. Let's hold off on the destruction, okay?" The bond we shared allowed me to communicate silently with him. Everyone who saw Peaches just thought he was an industrial-sized Cane Corso. Considering how much he ate, he should be the size of a bus.
"Can the angry man make some meat?"
"Are you saying you don't want me to do it?"
"No. You said to hold off on the destruction. When you make meat, it hurts my insides. That feels like destruction in my stomach."
"You're a hellhound. How can you be so picky?"
"I am a hellhound with taste."
"Are you saying my meat has no taste?"
"It has a taste. It tastes bad."
I stared at him silently for a few seconds. "Monty, can you feed the bottomless hole that is my hellhound?" Tristan Montague, Monty for short, was the other half of the Montague and Strong Detective Agency. He was a mage, just over 200 years old, young by mage standards, and cranky. To complicate matters further, he was also English. This meant he never found anything I did or said remotely humorous. Monty glanced over at my hellhound and sighed. "I still haven't had my tea," he said, "and that liquid they tried to pass off as tea on the plane was a crime against all things British." Apparently, tea was a big thing with the English. I never understood why Monty didn't do the sensible thing and embrace the superior drink, coffee. We'd had this conversation several times. It never ended well. Something about 300 years of tradition to uphold. So I had stopped bringing it up. "My sympathy at your suffering," I said. "If you don't make him the meat, I'll have to. Do you recall the Deathane incident?"
"Threats are unnecessary," he said. "We can purchase more meat when we visit James and secure the items. Do you want to give him a call?"
"I will, once we get settled in," I replied, placing my bags near the office reception area. "They won't open for an hour or so."
The Randy Rump was our closest neutral zone, meeting place, and restaurant butcher shop. It catered to the supernatural community and kept night hours from 8 p.m. to 8 a.m. Owned and managed by Jim, a werebear and good friend, it was one of Peach's favorite places. For a hellhound, meat is life, and the Randy Rump was heaven. The Rump was also one of the few places in the city with a runic null room for delicate meetings involving wielders of great power. The door and frame to the back room was made of Australian Bulok ironwood, and according to Monty, magically inscribed with runes on every inch of its surface. The door stood 10 feet tall and half as wide. Over a foot thick, opening it was surprisingly easy. If you knew the rune sequence. If you didn't, and resorted to using the magical equivalent of a nuke, that would probably just scratch the surface. Once closed, it remained closed. Period. On occasion, we would visit the Rump to place some of the more delicate, volatile artifacts in the back room, which doubled as a null zone. Monty's earlier suggestion about visiting wasn't just to get some meat for my voracious hellhound. We needed to secure some dangerous items in safe runic stasis.
Explain to your creature that I'm not his mobile meat dealer.
Will do, I said. I'm sure he appreciates you taking care of his meat fix.
Monty gestured with a hand and materialized several large sausages. I dropped them in Peach's rune-covered titanium bowl.
Make this last more than 5 seconds. Don't demolish the bowl, and don't forget to say thank you.
Peaches padded over to Monty, gave him a low growl, vibrating the windows, and bumped Monty with his head. He nearly knocked Monty down and drenched his black Xenia suit with potent hellhound slobber. He turned, oblivious to his salivary assault, and padded over to his bowl to inhale the meat. Monty looked down with annoyance at the slobber staining his pants.
I'd appreciate your creature not bathing me in his saliva as a form of thanks.
You're lucky, I said, suppressing a laugh. His saliva has healing properties. Do you feel better? Supposed to cure any illness.
I tried to keep a straight face as Monty glared at me.
The only illness I suffer from is working with the two of you.
I admired the immense amounts of hellhound saliva slowly traveling down his pants.
I think you need a tissue, or at the very least, a towel.
What I need is a strong cuppa, Monty said, looking down again at his sopping wet leg, and a change of clothes.
Is that your new Xenia mage form?
It was. Monty, like most mages I knew, preferred to wear a basic black bespoke suit, rune-enhanced for all things magical. It was a mage thing. To me, they all appeared to be headed to a funeral fashion show. I'm sure a little Clorox would get that out, or maybe you have a handy dry-cleaning rune you can release on the fabric.
Do you think you could make yourself useful and put the kettle on? Monty said, ignoring my suggestions as he headed out of the kitchen to the living area at the rear of our office space. I think I'll just burn this suit.
Is he still angry?
I looked at my hellhound, shook my head, and smiled. Don't worry, boy. Monty isn't angry. He's just old and cranky.
What do you want me to put this kettle on? I yelled out as I started brewing a real drink. Coffee.
It's not like the hob, Monty answered before I could unleash my wit.
Yes, with actual flame, thank you.
The hob, right, I said, looking down at Peaches. Don't know why he just can't say stove, like everyone else.